want to encourage each of you right now to just turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43. There's a passage of scripture that I want to read and just share with from for a moment from that passage of scripture. Isaiah 43, looking at particularly verses 1 through 3 is what we will read. But then we will talk a little bit more in terms of what this text has to offer and present to us. I'm reading from the New International Version, Isaiah 43, beginning with verse number 1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Bear with me. I want to read that one also from the New Living Translation to your hearing. It says, but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. As we ponder the words of those verses, those scriptures, I want to focus in on a thought just for our hearing. No matter the circumstance, my God can be trusted. Yeah. No matter the circumstance, my God can be trusted. In fairness to the context of Isaiah 43, God is writing to a people whom he has disciplined by allowing them to enter into captivity. But God is sending them a word to let them know that even though he disciplined them by allowing them to enter into captivity, that he has not forgotten about them. That he is the God who will deliver and restore. That what he has begun, he will see to completion because he is the God who can be trusted. I hope that as we work through this scripture and we are reminded of who our God is, that your heart will be encouraged. As we talked about at the beginning of our time together, this has been a season of loss for many of us. I personally have been grieving what seems to be loss after loss after loss, and it seems as though before my heart can heal from one, I'm experiencing another. But I'm thankful to God that he says, lo, I am with you, even in times of trouble, even in times in the valley of despair. And I have to be honest with you that loss does not capture the full essence of what I've been experiencing, because also with the loss, there has been gain. There has been what we like to phrase as blessing along the way. And so it is not as though I've only been in the valley. No, I've also experienced some of those glorious mountaintop occasions. But it seems as though that loss has a way of impacting us like few other things can. And this scripture then is ministering to me as God comes to lift us up and remind us that he is with us no matter what we're going through. There's a particular song that has been ministering to my heart and to my mind that I want to share with you just a portion of the lyrics. It's a song called No Bondage. It's by Jubilee Worship. It says, there is no hurt that can outlive the grace you freely give. It's the raging flood that covers us. For the thoughts that come to decay, you sent love to strip them away. And you've left the truth that we're free in you. There is no bondage. Every chain is broken. There is no bondage. Jesus, our hearts are open. No guilt, no shame. All my stains erased. There is no bondage. Every chain is broken. That song ministered to me because it reminded me that no matter what comes our way that threatens to enslave us, that no, we're not in bondage to anything. That trouble may come, but you best believe that the God that we serve is bigger than the trouble that has come our way. We just ended the month of February, and that was the month of celebrating Black history, the contributions of African Americans to the greatness of this country that we've been placed in, that we live in, and hopefully that many of us are coming to love. No, she is not perfect, which is being confirmed day after day, but yet it is the place in which we live, the place in which we have been placed. Black History Month is a reminder that there were a people who began their time in this country in bondage as slaves. But now today, that same people are set free. No, the struggle has not ended, but thank God we're free. Black History Month is a reminder that the place that you start is not always the place that you will end up. And getting to a place of victory requires cost and sacrifice. And the idea is this, that you not lose hope, that you do not forget that the one who called you is with you, and in due season, he is going to deliver you. Here's a truth that you and I have come to understand and know all too well, that in this world, we're going to have trouble. But thanks be to God, Jesus said he has overcome the world. It is a truth that says that sometimes that trouble is going to come to you out of nothing that you've done. It's just the simple fact that you are living in a fallen world with falling circumstances and situations that sometimes will beset you. But again, don't be overcome, because he says that Jesus has overcome the world. A couple of weeks ago, people that live all across the nation, and especially those who were in the Texas area, had to deal with some difficult times because of some things that were beyond their control. The weather conditions changed, and an ice storm, a winter storm, came in, and it wreaked havoc upon many places, causing many to be without water and electricity for several days. And it was a reminder that there are some things that we simply do not have control over. And for you and me, here is the key that we need to remember, that when those things that we have no control over come our way, how do we respond to them? Well, I believe the proper response is always to look to the one who is always in control, the one who is sovereign, the one who sits high and who looks low, the one who speaks, and when he has spoken, what he has spoken to must obey. That is the one that we always look to. We respond by looking to him and saying to him, O Lord, have mercy. O Lord, hear my cry. O Lord, come and help your servant. And here's what we know to be true, is that God may not come when we want him to, but he is always on time. His answer may not be the answer that you had even asked for, but here's what we know to be true, that his answer is always best for both you and for his glory. Therefore, we come to him today because we are convinced that no matter our circumstance, God can be trusted. Now, Isaiah 43, I love these words captured by the prophet Isaiah as he was giving hope to a people who were about to experience a turn of events. He came back to them and he said, this is what the Lord says. That's always a good word, what the Lord says. That's why you and I need to work on planting God's word in our hearts and in our minds. That's why you and I need to make it a discipline of sowing God's word into our hearts so that when we begin to speak, we will learn how to repeat the words that God has spoken so that when the Spirit of God chooses to use us, he has something from which he can pull to encourage others. And so then we can say, this is what the Lord says. Can I just tell you that when people are going through difficult times, what they need is a word from the Lord. They need to know what the Lord says. They don't need to know your opinion. They don't need to know your feeling. They don't really need to know your experience. What they really need to know is what the Lord says. Why? Because the word of the Lord is eternal. The word of the Lord stands forever. The word of the Lord does not change. And get this, the word of the Lord is powerful and it is mighty. Hebrews chapter 4 says, the word of God is living and it is active and it is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to separate even bone and marrow. It gives truth. And that's what people need, is the word of the Lord, which is true. He says, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. Can I pause for just another moment? And I tell you, I'm not going to be long, but he says, it was God who created you. It was God who formed you. It is God who knows you. It is God who purposed in you where you are to be and where you are to go. And what God has declared will come to pass. You and I need to be reminded of that sometimes, because the blows of life, the pressures of life, the hits can come so heavy that you and I will become worried, concerned, we'll begin to be depressed, living in despair. But Isaiah is reminding the people and reminding you and me, it is God who created you. It is God who formed you. Some of you who were with us on Wednesday night, we read from Psalm 139 that talked about how we are fearfully and wonderfully made, how God saw our unformed bodies while we were still yet in our mother's womb, how God saw each day laid out for us. It was ordained. The fact that he was with us in the beginning and he will be with us through the way. God who created you, God who formed you, it is God who knows you. So no matter what you're going through, God can be trusted. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. The first command is don't walk in fear. no matter what's going on, don't walk in fear. Why? Because God is with you. Don't walk in fear. Now, this is not the first time that Isaiah uses this phrase in a message to these people. For in Isaiah 41, verse 10, he says to them, "Do not fear, for I am with you." And let me just go ahead and read all of Isaiah 41, verses 8 through 10 for your hearing, because you need to hear this. He says, "But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from his father's corners. I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Then in Isaiah 43, verse number 1, he said to them, "Fear not." This is what the Lord is saying. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." When fear comes up on your heart, when you are being threatened by a circumstance, when you are being threatened by a person, when you are being threatened by a thing that is bringing fear upon you, you must say to your heart, "Fear not." And that's not an empty statement. Go ahead and finish it. "Fear not, for my God is with me." Yeah, go ahead and practice right now. Practice it. Go ahead and say, "Fear not, for my God is with me." Then he adds to that, "For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine." Oh, beloved, this is good news, that you belong to him, that he has called you. That word "summoned" means he's called you into this relationship. And it wasn't just an empty blanket call. He says he called you by name. And thanks be to God for those who have responded to the call by saying, "Yes, I'll follow you. Yes, I'll come and I'll walk with you. Yes, I will allow you to be my God." He says, "For I have redeemed you, that I purchased you." Now, Isaiah 43 was before Jesus came along and became a great redemption, the Lamb of God for all of us. But this speaks to what God was going to do. For he said, "Behold, I'm going to do a new thing." Jesus, his divine servant, was the new thing, whereby all men who would place their hope and their trust in him could be redeemed by his blood. Redeemed, yes, purchased, bought back in the ownership of the master, the creator, the one who loves you and who adores you. He says, I redeemed you. I purchased you. I bought you back from the hand of the enemy. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear, for you are mine. And don't you remember that I am the good shepherd who watches over his beloved sheep? That, yes, I provide for you a place of protection. I provide for you a place of nurture, and I keep you because you are mine. Then he says to them, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The blaze or the flame will not set you ablaze." He's given us this progressive thing that says that trouble may press in upon you, but it does not matter what form it takes. It's okay. I am with you. So when you go through the deep waters, that he's going to be with us. That when we go through the rivers of difficulty, he said, you can be assured that you will not drown. That when the fire of oppression comes upon you, you can rest assured that you won't be burned up and the flames will not consume you. Yes, I know the imagery takes you immediately to those three Hebrew boys who said that we will yet trust God. And when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, the flame could not consume them. And it is said that when they came out of the fire, that they didn't even smell like smoke. Yeah, I know this imagery. It takes you back to that event at the Red Sea when God's people were, they had the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army pressing in behind them, and they seemed to be trapped between a rock and a hard place with nowhere to go. And God opened up the Red Sea so that his beloved people whom he had rescued, whom he had redeemed, whom he had brought out of bondage, he opened up the Red Sea so that they could cross over on dry ground. And when their enemies who refused to give up, who were relentless in their pursuit, decided to go in through the pathway that God had provided for his people, his enemies went into the Red Sea, and the same Red Sea that provided passage for God's people provided death for their enemies. He says, behold, I am with you. When you go through those difficult times, I'll be there to carry you through. Beloved, this is God's word that says, listen, I want you to know that I am with you, that no matter what you're going through, I will not abandon you. And don't allow the difficult times to convince you that I have forgotten about you, for no, I am with you. And what these difficult times will do for you is they will give you a new revelation of who I am. These difficult times will help you to see that I am the God that cannot be described or summarized with just a few cliches. They will help you to know that I am the God who is inexhaustible. That means that you cannot exhaust me because I am the great I am. And whatever you need me to be, you will discover that I can be and I will be it for you. That these difficult times are not coming to destroy you, but they are simply coming to shape you and to remind you that you are my beloved and that I have chosen you to be my witness in a world that needs to know about an awesome God, about a loving God, about a God who is an ever-present God, but most importantly, about a living God, a God who was not made by the hands of men, but a God who created men. Yes, when you go through these difficult times and I see you through these difficult times, you will be able to turn to others and tell them it is not because of who I am, it is because of who he is. When they say to you, how is it that you can go through what you're going through and not break? You will say, because the one who is holding me won't let me break. That he is keeping me, that he is sustaining me, that he is the one who gives me life and hope and enables me to walk on the high heels. Yes, beloved, God can be trusted. And all you and I need to do is keep our eyes fixed up on him, so that we can be his witnesses, so that we can tell others about him. See, in Isaiah 43:10, he says, you are my witnesses. You are my servants whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. Oh, yes, the enemy may be throwing stuff your way, but remember, God causes all things to work. I did say all things. Don't change what he said. God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purposes. All things. Even when it doesn't seem like it's going to work together, God causes all things to work together. oh, I don't have the time to tell his story, so you need to go back to Genesis and just ask Joseph to tell you a little bit more about how his all things work together to accomplish God's will. And Joseph will begin to tell you, I didn't understand it from the moment my brothers turned on me, threw me in a pit, sold me into slavery, until the moment where I was elevated to the second in command. I didn't understand what God was doing, but my God causes all things to work together. So you just trust him and be confident of this. He is with you, and if he is with you, he is making you his witness so that you can understand who he is. He has chosen to reveal himself to you. God says, before him, there was no other God, and there will not be one after him. Apart from him, there is no Savior. He has revealed, he has saved, and he has proclaimed. I just want to encourage you, as I am being encouraged, that no matter the difficulty, no matter the challenge, God can be trusted. Is that every promise that God has ever made is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And if you put your hope, your trust, and your confidence in Jesus, what you will discover is that he'll come through every time, that you can trust him with the end result. And when you don't understand it, you can trust that he will give you revelation if you just keep walking with him and help you to understand that he is with you. That means that you don't allow the momentary troubles that have come your way to put you in bondage. Why? Because Jesus is your ransom. Jesus is the one who has set you free. Because he was anointed, filled with the Holy Ghost and power, he went around and he was doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. And what you need to know, that you and I, in his care, we are still being delivered from the power of the devil. So that means that no matter what comes your way, that you can still trust God, that you can depend upon him, that you can rely upon him. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, you can depend upon him. You may be hard-pressed on every side, but give thanks to him that you're not crushed. You may be perplexed, but thanks be to God, we're not in despair. Oh, we're experiencing some persecution, but listen, we're not abandoned. Some of us have even been struck down, but thanks be to God, we are not destroyed. No, we don't lose heart. Even though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly, you know what? We're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So brothers and sisters, this is what we do. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Therefore, we walk and we live by faith and not by sight. And we are confident that our God, who has begun a good work in us, will see it through. Therefore, he can be trusted. No matter what's going on, no matter the circumstances, no matter what quarter you might be in, you can be assured of this, because God is with you, because God is on your side. You are going to experience the victory. So rest in him. Yes, rest in him. Do not allow fear to overtake you, but rest in him. Let the God of peace wash over you and fill you with peace. Yes, ride the wave that has come your way. And know this, that you are in an ark that can keep you safe, because he has you covered and will keep you. And so you say that no matter what comes my way, God, I'm just going to trust you. Yes, this is the day that you made. Therefore, I will choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, I will lift up my voice with praise. Yes, I will lift up my voice with adoration. Yes, I will lift up my voice with thanksgiving, and I will celebrate you for who you are, because I know that you can be trusted, and I have confidence in you that you're going to keep me in the middle of my storm, and you will say at the appointed time to the winds and the storms that are causing havoc in my life, you will say, peace, be still, and my soul will declare of you that you are my God, and I have placed my hope and my trust in you. Father, we thank you today for your promise to never leave us, to never abandon us. Father, we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit, who is a constant companion to us. We thank you, God, for his leading and for his guiding and for his directing our paths. We thank you that he walks with us and speaks to us words of truth, words of comfort, words of direction, that he keeps us tethered to you. Because of that, we won't let our hearts be troubled, but we'll trust in you because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. We'll let your peace rest upon us, because that is your desire for us. And though we have trouble in this world, we won't be consumed by it, because we know that you have overcome whatever trouble we might experience. Therefore, we place our hope, our confidence, and our trust in you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.